military intelligence and different families that were connected to the guy that took him. The reason why he took them was because he said that he saw Ted Bundy drive down through this suburb. That was it.
Mm.
And what did he do? Did he do anything odd or anything like that? No, he just drove and passed these villas. Okay. So when he was caught, you know, the deputy just followed him. You would think that the deputy would stop him. No, there was a massive police action, loads of cars jumping and stopping him. Where was that? Where did that come from? How on earth did they know that they had a serial killer on their hands? And then you look at the same so-called experts being called to the trials. They pop up, the same people again and again, many of them with connections into these military installations and the MK Ultra scene, and deeply into hypnosis and other things.
I wonder, Ollie. Sorry to cut across here. Some people might, you know, you're in depth and you've researched all this. Maybe, just maybe, people haven't heard of each individual serial killer. So maybe a little bit of a synopsis on all of those individually, if you have time for that.
With the serial killers,
yeah. Because, like, but not everyone knows the story of Bundy. Not everybody knows the story of different different serial killers as well, you know, and what they did and how they got caught and all the rest of it.
I agree with you, but instead of spending too much time on that, I would just suggest these things, because I can see that this is way out there for most people if you're not okay. aware of these things. This is just something that I would like to open up for, the idea that these things might be connected.
Be linked, yeah. Okay.
Be linked. And also when you see that how the same people, like the serial killer, but also assassins that are connected to other major assassinations, they grow up very close to each other. Some of them go to the same schools, and every single time very close to one of these military bases. Mm. And very similar childhoods. You know, these where they are very troubled at a young age. And this is exactly when you study the MK Ultra. The things is, sometimes they recruit these, or they take these children. Actually, their parents give them away, these military people, let the children into these programs where they're then put through absolute horrendous experiences.
So you think these abusive parents are knowledgeable about putting their children in for this type of program?
Sean, I can only say that there's a clear pattern. I don't know.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
In my way of seeing it, it's absolutely sick. I mean, how can you do a thing to a child like that?
Hmm.
At the same time, it keeps repeating. So either it is the people in charge of MKUltra and so are looking for similar cases, because they know that abused children are very open and vulnerable to their type of treatment. Because you need a weakened mind.
Yeah, you need a broken soul, wouldn't you, really?
This is this very, very sad thing. You need a broken soul, and what they do is they just break it into smithereens, so that they put this poor child into awful, awful situations. It's many different types of torture and so on that will split the personality into more than one, so that they can have like multiple personalities, at least two, and then they can swap between the two, activate one or the other, so that they can have one personality that is absolutely normal, totally normal, and that part of the personality has no idea about the other part, and then the other part can be activated as an absolute monster.
Mm. So just a trigger needed, yeah.
Trigger. It's they trigger these people often with the words, or they can have different type of triggers that activates them. You will see films like The Manchurian Candidate, or the two versions of that, the old with Frank Sinatra and so on, where these things are shown in detail. But there are many, many other films nowadays that talks about these things.
Yes.
It's absolutely awful. And then what they do with these poor children when they want to train them as assassins, or future assassins, then at a very young age that they are trained to kill first animals. You will see that it's very clear also with many serial killers that it's exactly how they start as well. And then that it goes into other children, they start, and then it goes up to women and then men most of the time. It is awful, horrendous, awful, awful.
It is pretty crazy, but I mean, then when you look at Agenda 21 and the fact that, Zionist elites want to depopulate the planet by 6 billion people, then they're the serial killers, aren't they, really?
We're back to the same group. I mean, we're back to the same mentality, and this mind that is behind it is absolutely sick.
It's them, isn't it? It is the same group right at the top.
In my opinion, yeah. I keep getting back to them. When I started 30 years ago, starting to look at different cases, I had absolutely no idea that there was any connection whatsoever. I was just really interested in... For me, it started with the JFK assassination. And that, after spending I don't know how many thousands of hours on that, I got more and more interested in the Robert Kennedy assassination. Yes. And then the Martin Luther King. And then the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme when he was gone down. And it was only after years of looking into these things that I started seeing that there was this pattern that kept repeating and that it was almost like they were using templates when they were carried out. And then when I saw these, how they carried them out in the States, it absolutely freaked me out when I saw that the exact same template was being used in Sweden. I just couldn't believe it, because how on earth could an assassination in Sweden be done in a very identical way as they were carried out in the States if they were not connected somehow? Mm-hmm. So from that point onwards, I started looking at this from a higher level, trying to see how on earth. And then I had the advantage of having studied the JFK and Robert Kennedy for so many years, so I could predict what would happen in Sweden if it followed the same template. You know, it's just like point one, two, three, four was how they did it in Dallas and in Los Angeles. And then here we were 23 years later, point one, two, three. So if it follows the template, this would be the next step. And it happened exactly like I predicted. And that was a shocking experience to me, because it just turned my whole view of Sweden upside down.
But it is a bit crazy though, Ollie. I know this sounds strange, but if you play soccer in Ireland and you play it in Africa or you play it in America, the rules of the game are the same. So does it mean they're linked just because they're playing by the same rules and playing by the same plan and the same infrastructure?
No, but when you start finding the same people on right. site, that is when it's getting really serious.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I've been able to track people that were present in Dealey Plaza when Kennedy was shot to Stockholm 23 years later.
Okay, well, that is fascinating. That is incredible. Can you name those names?
God, yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. The person I'm talking about now, it's like when you see the motorcade turn and when it's in front of the Texas School Book Depository, you got the Stemmons Freeway sign. Are you with me, more or less?
Yes, with you.
Yeah, okay. And right at the sign there's one man with a black umbrella. He's called the Umbrella Man. There's been a lot of speculation why he was there that day, because it wasn't raining. And they've said, they're speculated, and maybe there was a poison dart or something like that in that umbrella. No, the reason why he was there was because there were multiple shooters surrounding Dealey Plaza. And he was the one that showed the cross point where everybody had to fire at the same time, because if they did not fire at the same time, you could not blame it on one lone crazy guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, if there's he was the
firing gun, if you like.
He was not aware of it. They always do these things totally compartmentalized, so everybody just know their task. This poor guy, his real name was Roy Hargraves. He was a mercenary. I don't think he had any idea why he had to stand there. But he discovered once they started shooting. Anyway, the guy in front of him, this guy was Roy Hargraves, very closely associated with Operation 40, which is, I think we covered that group earlier on in your show, haven't we?
We did, and I want to recommend earlier podcasts. Just go on to the www.outofthebagradio.weebly.com and check out the podcast page, and there's a couple of shows with Ollie.
Yeah, I can explain more about Operation 40 a little later, but the guy in front of him, it's a guy, a dark-skinned, Cuban-looking, that steps out in the street almost waving. It's almost like he takes a step out into the street trying to slow down the motorcade for the time of the shooting. His name was Felipe Vidal Santiago, okay? And he was a member of Operation 40. He was part of many, many other assassinations. And over the years after the killing in Dealey Plaza, he worked under the alias of Charles Morgan. He worked for a CIA front cover company called ITT. And his task was to move around in the world whenever they had a hit somewhere. His task was to go there and recruit people on site, local people from that country, as being part of the team of assassins, or being the fall guy, the guy that they were going to blame for the whole thing, and so on. And 23 years later, in November, in the fall of 1985, Charles Morgan was in Stockholm trying to recruit killers for the Olof Palme assassination. Mm. So there you get one person that was in Dealey Plaza and in Stockholm.
No, an absolute crossover.
Absolute crossover. I've got another one for you. In this Operation 40, I need to explain a little. Under the Eisenhower administration, they came to a point where they felt, this is the late 50s, very early 60s, they came to a point where they decided, let's create a team of super assassins that we can, very, very secret, ultra secret team, but that we can send everywhere in the world to take out whatever person we have a problem with. So this task was given to Richard Nixon, who was vice president at the time. So he gave the order to some hardened CIA veterans. We're talking Ted the Blonde Ghost Shackley, David Attlee Phillips, E. Howard Hunt. These were the CIA people that were put to go down, and they went down to Miami and started recruiting mostly exiled Cubans that had just left Cuba after Fidel Castro had taken over. So they recruited them, and they were about 85 people to start with, one woman and 85 men. These were very hard people, brutal killers, most of them from the Batista police force or Air Force on Cuba or...
You still there, Ollie? Hello? Okay, it looks like we've lost Ollie. I'm going to put the moods. I'll whack the moods on and see if we can change the mood and get Ollie back as soon as we possibly can. So here are the moods and kids carry guns.
Kids carry guns. The future looks bright.
and welcome back to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com. And that was The Moods with Kids Gary Guns. And hopefully I have Ollie Damagard back with me.
You sure do.
Ah, that's brilliant. And as you said off air, or rather on type before I could get you back on call, that it is when you start using certain names or naming certain names that this type of thing happens on Skype. But let's not get into that light on conspiracy, Ollie.
I tell you, very often I leave my landline as well, because when I start talking about these things, oof, I get cut off. So up to you to... It's easy to get paranoid, I feel, right on bait.
Well, we're grand. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we were paranoid, would we, really?
Not really. But do you know the real meaning of paranoid, though?
Go on.
I've been told by an MI6 officer that the real meaning of paranoid, if he's correct, I don't know, but I'm just quoting him. He says that paranoid, the word paranoid, is being misused. And the real meaning of it is the ability to connect dots and events that nobody else can see are connected.
It sounds so, about right, doesn't it, really? I mean,
so in that case, I'm a proud paranoid person.
As long as not a paranoid schizophrenic or something. Well, maybe we are.
Nope, not at all. But listen, Sean,
so let's name those names again.
Yeah, but it's time for some poetry first, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it is. Bring out the bag.
So for those that don't know, I'm a poet and Ollie's been on my show, so he does. Do you want me to pull a poem from the bag or do you want me to pull a poem from the book?
Yes.
Which was that?
Yes.
Yes.
Go for it.
Go for the bag. Okay. I'll just drag one out of the bag, Ollie, and see what comes out. Okay. It goes like this. I'm not a teacher or a preacher, more like a screecher. If you want, you can turn around and say, that's enough, I've lots to do, I can't sit around wasting my time listening to you. Well, you're right. We haven't time to create for ourselves this pantomime, good versus evil, both entertaining, some having fun, others complaining. Well, I have a complaint. And I have fun when I complain. I can't enjoy myself when there are others in pain. I can't ignore what's going on by jumping their gravy train. There you go.
Thank you so much.
That's an oldie. That hasn't come out of the bag for a long, long while, I don't think.
Well, maybe it was time. So, no, but this, I think what you said there, this, I think at least what I'm trying to is not to preach, not to teach, not to just share what I've found. I mean, I spent so many years of my life into this. And the reason why I've come forward, put myself on the line. I mean, I've had friends murdered around me. I had to leave my home country and so on because of this. But it's just like in your poem, I can't take seeing people get hurt, you know, and bullies just... being on the loose, trying, terrorizing us.
No, absolutely. And Ollie, there comes a time when you know a certain amount and there's no going back into the way we were before, into the blinkered, dumbed down, I suppose, consumer that we were trained to be.
Nope.
Just no going back. We've got to move forward. And because we're all moving forward together, Ollie, I think that is going to be a massive solution, because as people wake up and as people believe, and not in lies, but in truth, and see and look at their own research and do a bit of their own going out there and finding out for themselves, we all move forward. And step by step, as you said at the beginning of the show, when I said, you know, why aren't they just arresting people? That's going to happen. They're going to have to, you know, the arm's going to be forced, if you like. And the killers, the elites, the nutters, the psychopaths that seem to be running this planet will be held to task, I think.
Oh, well, I tell you, we're living in absolute wonderful times, I think. Very challenging and apparently very scary. They're trying to hit us from all different directions at the moment because they're freaking out, because we have turned the spotlight and aimed it at them.
Yes.
They have been able to carry out and get away with all of these things for such a long time because they've been hiding in the dark. They've been like a shadow government behind the scenes, pulling the strings very cowardly, not having any kind of balls, taking a step forward and show what they're actually doing. But now the light has been turned on, and I think, I mean, I see people popping up everywhere, you know, in the thousands. So I think this is an absolute amazing time to be alive.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. We've turned the cards on them, and now they know, we know.
And I know.
Yeah. And it's only a matter of time.
But, and the thing is that I'm not here to spread fear or hatred or revenge or anything like that. I just want the madness to stop, you know. Stop it. It is enough. We are so tired and we're so ready for the next step. So we just need to neutralize these people in a totally non-violent way, but by exposing them.
Absolutely. I am sort of hoping upon hope. I mean, most people, and I think it is most people that join the army, join it because of their indoctrination into thinking they're helping their land and their people. And the same with the Garda or the police forces. They're joining because they want to get rid of crime, because they care about their communities. So I think most people are like that. When they can see through the indoctrination and the programming they've been through, and then look above them to who they are working for as corporates and not as trustees of the people, I'm pretty sure they will be willing, he says, fingers crossed, that they will be willing to arrest their superiors.
You know, the thing is, we can only deal mostly with a person looking back at you in the mirror.
Well, I don't need arresting.
You do not.
No. So, but I look outside and not in my mirror, and there are many, many people getting away with many, many things, and they should be behind bars.
Yep. They should be healed at least, you know, to so that they stop this madness. I do not have a solution for this when it comes to retaliation or whatever. I just want it to stop. I want to welcome all type of whistleblowers from the elite and other groupings, because I think they are very, very afraid of us. You know, I think I've heard people close to George Bush Senior that says that he's crying when he goes to sleep, and yeah, I can totally understand that, because when you think of what people like that have got in their luggage, you know, my God. And then knowing that people are starting to see what they've been up to, I mean, they are freaking out, I think, so afraid of being lynched or being chopped up and served on a pizza or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I did a poem, quite a in-your-face poem, if you like. It hasn't been pulled out of the bag for a long while, about what Ireland means to me. And I read it in Kinsale Festival last year.
And could you read it now?
Oh my God, I'd have to dig it out. I don't know where it is. But, but I read it out, and the story leads on, and people will hear it again. But I read it out during my gig, if you like. It was picked out of the bag. And it was picked out of the bag by the mayor of County Cork. Okay. And that's a big county. And he was there at the event. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, I really have to tell you that I don't agree with any of those words that you spoke in there. And I just held him by his shoulder and said, don't you be worrying yourself, because we're going to be treating you much, much better than you've been treating us. Mm. And that's pretty much it. I think we are, aren't we? When you know, like you're a loving, caring person, Ollie. I know I am, okay? Even if we get angry, because there's things to get angry about. But genuinely, we would love if they did, as you say, just stop. Stop the madness. Stop the killing. Stop the greed and the mafioso bullshitting, bullying going on all over the world. And we'll forgive you and move on from here. You know, now a lot of people who have been abused and have been, you know, families been taken out by these people might not be so lenient. But I think that's how where we stand on it. We don't really want to give out hangings and punishments and all that type of stuff. I mean, for me, put them behind bars. I mean, Vin often says just get an island somewhere and just put them all onto an island together. They can live together. Just don't interfere with our lives anymore. it's an idea.
It is sure is an idea. I just know one thing that I really liked a lot and admired, that was the Truth and Reconciliation Committee in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
How they manage. I mean, the result now is not the best, but when you look upon this country that had been so tortured for such a long time with victims on both sides, even though the apartheid regime was awful, awful, awful. I mean, my God, incredible. But where they found that the only way forward is by forgiveness and compassion, and where former people that worked in the police force and was torturing their victims now work side by side with people they used to torture. You know, there are some examples of that, and how forgiveness have this incredible power, you know, but where the way forward was that the way they couldn't be pardoned, these people, were by becoming totally transparent, by totally exposing everything they were involved in, so that they could get closure, the families of the victims could get an understanding of what happened.
You see, here's something I think, Ollie. I mean, you know, these police and soldiers and higher up echelons of the judicial system and all the rest of it, they take oaths, and we know that they've all sold their souls, corporatized, and they are not under their oath anymore. Therefore, why the feck are they still holding on to their Freemason secret oaths and not exposing each other? Because that really is the next step, isn't it? The next step is that transparency. Is that, yes, I did this along with my compatriots who are this, 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 and this. I mean, that really is the way we should be going, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's fear that keeps them. You know, there many of these people involved in the elite and so on. They're so, do you know, they, when you look at these pedophile gangs and all of these things that are coming up to the surface now on an international level, with the Vatican and in every single country, I think are going to have these scandals about, in the Western world at least, the scandals with where politicians and people in so-called power position have had been to these parties with children and underage and homosexual, whatever, sex parties, prostitutes and so on. The only thing is that when they were invited into these parties, they were like, oh, now you're part of the, you know, the brotherhood. Now you're one of us. And what they did not know that when they joined these parties was that there were cameras everywhere, and that there was totally there to get them by the balls, you know, so that if they started talking or started getting other thoughts or thinking about becoming whistleblowers, they would have very, very dangerous evidence against them, very purposely there to shut them up or shut them down.
Well, and, you know, like, if you were someone who, I don't know, did something wrong in your life and you were part of a paedophile group, and that's dreadful, and you'd have to hold your hand up and say guilty. But when you're looking at the planet we're living on, the very world we're playing our games upon, possibly being completely fecked by these nutters, I think you'd take the consequences, wouldn't you? For the future of mankind.
I wish, if I were in that situation, I really hope that I would do that. I totally encourage people in that situation to do it, because the thing is, in my opinion, my humble opinion after 30 years, is the ship is going down. It's just a matter of time. And the sooner people step forward and have the courage to become whistleblowers, the more we will embrace them. You know, the more of a coward they are, waiting, the colder the embrace will be.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
The thing is that they don't have a choice anymore. It's just a matter of time. This is, I think, why they're so desperate now. This is why they're just trying to speed everything up. They're getting so sloppy with all of these mass shootings. I don't know what, so badly.
It is, and they're,
they tried the latest one. My God, we can't use Al-Qaeda anymore. What are we going to do? Rename him, the Iceman. No, the ISIS, use that. I mean, it was used in the 1990s, but bring it up again. That they won't remember that. Do it again.
It's just next incredible. Time, yeah.
It's just so sloppy, so badly
they
done.
They think we're so stupid, and they're using the same actresses and actors in different scenes and scenarios, and it's very, very, do they think that they have absolutely poisoned our minds completely like they have the American public, maybe?
But Sean, we haven't given them a lot of reason to respect us either. I mean, when you can buy into that a plane hits the Pentagon and vaporizes because of the high heat. I mean, 2 6-ton engines.
Yeah, who believes that? Who believed that really?
Many people believe the official story, and in the official story of 9/11 is a great thing. A great part of that is things.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I just think that the control of the mainstream media globally and the clever magic they use within the mainstream media, you can't blame people for reading the paper and thinking it's true. I know people that when 601 News come on RTE, shush, Mr. Dobson's telling us some truth, you know. They genuinely think that the guy, the newsreader, isn't scripted at all and he's just giving you the news, you know. It's a mentality that has been molded and drummed into people, and I think as soon as you look a little bit further outside of that, the realization's there and it seems so obvious. Or is that just me, thinking that everyone's a lot smarter than they really are?
The thing is that this has been done by design for such a long time. I mean, we're talking generations here.
Yeah.
And it's very painful to wake up and to the fact that, oh my God, I've been buying into all of these lies. I've been defending them. I even maybe went to war and killed people for them, you know. And now here I am suddenly seeing a totally different truth. It is very painful for many people, and they start always with very fearfully.
Well, just like when you exercise any muscle, when you exercise anything. you get the pain, you get the burn. So, yeah. I mean, really people should understand when they flex their mental muscle, they're going to get a bit of, flashback, and they're going to get a bit of hassle, and they're going to get a bit of pain. And to understand that, you know, from taking the plastic or the silver, depends on what side of the fence and what class you are in, taking the silver or the plastic spoon out of your mouth and having to stand up on your own 2 feet and feed yourself your information, feed yourself your knowledge and your wisdom, and to go further. It's such an incredible feeling when you do it. So it's exciting, isn't it? Like, isn't it exciting to go through the pain and whatever of you know, getting yourself physically fit, for example? I wish I was, because I was in an accident. I can't be. So, you know, it's fantastic. And then you get the pleasure of it. And I think once people see us awakened, and I'm not saying we're totally awakened, but us awakened to most of what's going on and pointing out the obvious agreeing facts that we can see going on around us, surely they can see how comfortable we are in our own skin, how happy we are moving forward, how logical and reasonable we are. And then they'll come along.
I think this is the way to do it, because what I see, and I count myself in there, once you start getting into this area, first it's a like first total denial, then total disbelief. Once you start seeing that it's actually happening, and then you get into a very, very deep sorrow. It's almost like you lose somebody you've loved, and despair and anger just gets totally mixed. And then you get totally obsessed. Most people get totally obsessed getting into it, and they start digging into it. But it goes so dark for most people, and then they start spreading this black energy around and trying to convince everybody around.
Yeah.
And I'm, and friends are just like, oh my God, can somebody shut him up? But I think the thing is to come out, once again, focus on the one in the mirror that is looking back at you. That's the one you can change. And by changing that person into somebody who can carry these things on their shoulders, but in balance with a heart full of gratitude and love, and still fearlessly exposing these dark forces. That is the way, and in my opinion, and that will also make people around you welcome you, or welcome the information and receive it. Because if you pound on their doors trying to knock it in, they won't open. Instead, if you meet them with respect and show them that there is a way of handling this in a beautiful way, the door will be open from the inside.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say, I use a bit of humor and poetry, and it seems to work.
It's excellent. Excellent.
It seems to work.
That's how the Danish handled the occupation of the Nazi war machine, I tell you. It was through humor. They just kept the whole spirit up there. So that's the way to do it.
Definitely. Listen, I've got a few questions to pose to you from the chat box, etc. Richard Coulson. Hi, Richard. Good to see you back in the chat room. Hi, Sean. Please ask your guest if he has an opinion on where all this satanic nastiness comes from. Where does it originate? Who is behind it? And what does it all lead? That's a lot of questions, Richard. And what does it all lead to? What is the final agenda? Maybe in a devious sort of way, they're doing us a favor, forcing us to wake up.
Do you know, we're looking at this at a certain level. We're talking about the bad and the good, and we being, you know, the light and the dark fighting each other. I think, just like Richard says, if you look at this from a very, very high point of view, on a soul level, I refer to them as the black angels. These are souls that have come down here to be absolute assholes for us to wake up, because it's only, you need left to understand right, you need up to understand down, you need evil to understand good, and present you with the options of choosing, and you need extreme evil to experience extreme enlightenment.
Well, I do think that they are waking people up by their actions, and because we are also unveiling their despicable actions, that more people are going to wake up that way. But I don't necessarily think that they planned it. I still think they wish to be in power and us to be dumbed down and never ever finding out.
Of course, I'm talking about these contracts that we some